Imprisonment is evil, but within it there are elements which are good, utter and absolute good. In fact, this is a dual good, since it comprises both kinds of benefit which are to be found gained from suffering. The simple benefit which occurs from the lessening of fat and blood, and more importantly, the second benefit discussed above. In the suffering brought on by illness, God forbid, pain hinders a person from being wrapped in thoughts of repentance and spiritual stocktaking and whatever else he should be thinking about. Likewise, worries involving one's children, health, and livelihood make a person confused and preoccupied by ensnaring him in the foolishness of devising strategies and the like. None of these disadvantages, however, are to be found in the evil of the suffering of imprisonment. In prison, a person becomes closed off from the entire turbulent and tempestuous world. Every minute is an hour, every hour is a month, every day is a year. In prison, a person becomes acquainted with the utmost depth of evil, which malevolent geniuses can engineer. The experience gives one a limited but precise picture of what hell means, and of what is meant by angels of destruction. From one's first step inside, and one's first glance at one's cell, all bodily desires vanish, and in the first few minutes during which one is left alone, there flutters through a ray of delight at the temporary respite from the torture and humiliation which one has undergone at the hands of the wardens and the interrogator. At one's very first attempt to reflect on what has transpired, when one has a full image of the governors of the prison clear before one's eyes, one stands overawed by the sheer depth of evil which can be found in the creature called man. One becomes minute and lowly in one's eyes as one beholds the scum of humanity. There are learned works that discuss the varying natures of different kinds of creatures and consider the cruel habits of those that prey with tooth and claw, the predators of the towns of the wilds, the snakes and scorpions of the deserts, the fearsome denizens of the seas and the skies. And they come to the conclusion that the most pernicious beast in the whole of creation is man. But it is only when one is in prison that one comes to know the evil of this wild beast. It is there that one sees his real face and hears his vulgar voice and harsh speech. It is there that with bloodshot eyes one witnesses a man's calm enjoyment from shedding blood. The most difficult time in prison is at night. For those who have already experienced a taste of prison, it is quite unnecessary to explain that daytime in prison is far quieter than midnight in the smallest of hamlets. But for those who are caught up in the hubbub of the world, it is difficult to imagine the deathly silence that reigns in prison even by day, and more so by night, when the wardens and all the officials are at rest. In the midst of his dead stillness, one hears metallic footsteps and the clatter of keys in one of the iron doors. Involuntarily, one shudders, for one knows full well what a night visit signifies. At best, it means a summons to the interrogator, with all the dire tortures that accompany it. A more dread experience is to overhear an exchange of conversation between a prisoner and a warden, who is escorting him to the place of execution. Prison is a fine little retreat for private meditation. Here one is spared the customary bother of having to close one's eyes in order that one should not see things that one ought not see, of blocking one's ears against things that one ought not hear, and of guarding one's tongue from undesirable speech. This is a place where a person can rediscover his own equilibrium, where he can make a really honest self-appraisal, where he can thoroughly consider his past, joyfully accept the suffering of the present, and firmly resolve how he will live his future as soon as the Almighty lifts him from bondage into freedom. The good which is to be found in the evil of the sufferings of imprisonment sets a man up on a higher rung in life. It has a salutary influence on certain faculties of the soul which develop only by such means, and provided that all this is utilized for the service of Hashem, this is a most useful experience. All of this is true of ordinary people, that tranquility is good and imprisonment is evil. But in the case of a consummate tzaddikim, the fathers of the world, whatever things they encounter are various paths in the service of Hashem. The imprisonment of Avraham Avinu took place in order that he should blaze the trail of utter self-sacrifice for godliness, for elikus. The imprisonment of the Alter Rebbe took place in order that he should blaze the path of utter self-sacrifice for the service of Hashem, according to the teachings of Chassidus. The Baal Shem Tov said before his passing that the alternative was open to him of leaving this world in the manner of Eliyahu HaNavi, of whom it is written, Vayal b'sa'ara ha-shamayma, he ascended heavenward in a storm. But he did not want to forgo what was written in the verse, Ki ofer ata vel ofer tashuv, for dust you are, and to dust shall you return. The Alter Rebbe, who was chosen from above to disseminate the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov according to the path of Chabad, was given from above the power to open up the spiritual faculties of Chachma, Bina, and Das in his fellow Jews, in order to make them vehicles for Elikus. To this end, the Alter Rebbe had to experience all the possible paths in divine service. In order to open the gates of one's Chachma, Bina, and Das, so that these faculties should illuminate one's heart in the course of one's practical Aveda, one must have actual Mesiras Nefesh. In Chassidus, this term, usually translated self-sacrifice, is explained as meaning Mesiras HaRatzin, the setting aside of one's own will, and it was the Alter Rebbe who cleared a path to Mesiras Nefesh for the sake of Avodah. As one contemplates the inner meaning of the Alter Rebbe's imprisonment and release, one lights upon new ways of understanding and fresh insights as to what paths in Avodah they opened up. By virtue of the merit of our forefathers, the Rebbes of blessed memory, may the Almighty grant us all, of Israel, the understanding and the strength to walk with hearts joyful in both a material and spiritual sense, in the ways of divine service which the Alter Rebbe opened up through his Mesiras Nefesh. May the promise of the verse be realized, Yafutsu Mainasecha Chutza, your wellsprings, the teachings of Chassidus, shall be spread far and wide. And may Mashiach, the King, come speedily and in our own days. Amen.